Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Mission Accepted. I am thrilled about having Allison Jones with us today because very interesting. Don't you find it interesting all the different ways that people become entrepreneurs, why they become entrepreneurs? What is it that they do? Like, look, I find it really incredible. Maybe because in my generation, we didn't have these exploratory conversations about all the different things that people can do. And we automatically think about who can we work for, right? And there's all these new ways that people have gone from corporate or their training or their education to building their own thing, kind of planting their own flag. I think it's very exciting. You guys are going to learn some really cool things today. First, I want to say thank you. You guys are rock stars. You know how I always call you something? Well, today you guys are rock stars. Rock stars. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sending out the show. We so appreciate it because not only are the stories kind of glorious and inspiring and motivation, whether you're an entrepreneur or not, but look, there are so many people that are considering or dabbling or they're in the throes of their entrepreneurial life. And I want to tell you something, the thing about being an entrepreneur and taking on the mission, which is why it's called Mission Accepted, is because that mission changes. As you change, so does the mission. As life changes, so does the mission. As things out of your control, like the economy and those kind of things, it changes. And so really mindset, mental health, taking care of yourself, being in the game is such a critical piece of your success, not only in your personal life, but your business life. But when you are an entrepreneur, and so much of it depends upon you, you need to double check. You need to double down on your personal development. You need to make sure you're taking care of yourself. And so I love, you guys have heard me say it 1,000 times, people are like, oh, Deb, how can you have been successful? How can you have done this? Or how can you have done that? And I'm like, I've always had either a coach, a trainer, a mentor, a counselor, a therapist to talk about my feelings, talk about my life, talk about my strategy, talk about my family in all of the nicest ways. And talk about the process that, you know, how those things come together. And so it was such a pleasure to meet Allison because she combines all of that. And I'm super excited to bring her on today and actually hear about her story of becoming an entrepreneur and how she herself keeps herself focused and messages for all of you entrepreneurs and people out there. So Allison, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, thank you, Deborah. It's great to be here. And I'm thrilled to be a part of this. And having these conversations are very exciting.
Yeah, they're just so exciting and they're so necessary, right? I mean, you are in the thick of it. You are in the throes. If you haven't figured out by now, Allison works with people. Mm-hmm. And Allison helps a lot of people. And she has the interesting, we were talking earlier, and she's got this, you know, she's an entrepreneur and she kind of plants her own flag and does her own thing. But she is someone who's an entrepreneur in an industry that actually has guidelines and rules and regulations because of the sector she's in. So Allison, why don't you share with the audience what you do and let us and share with us how you got into doing that?
Right. Well, I'm a registered clinical counselor. I'm a mental health professional. And I run my own clinic. I run my own counseling center where I have other therapists that are associates that are part of that, as well as we of course have admin and whatnot. And we deliver, you know, quite a few sessions a day, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we focus a lot on mental health. We focus a lot on success. You know, my actual office, we do a lot of virtual work now, right? But my actual mm-hmm. office is in West Vancouver. And, you know, the North Shore of Vancouver is where has one of the highest densities of entrepreneurs, right? So not only am I an entrepreneur myself, had my own journey to get here, I serve a lot of people that are running their own businesses and going through these things. So I've been able to actually coach them as well and learn from them, right? Because some of the clients I've had are extremely successful. And so I've learned a lot, and they've been really great supporters of my practice.
Oh, no, go ahead. Please do.
No, that's good.
No, I was just going to say, being someone who's an entrepreneur and obviously working with those other sides of being an entrepreneur, people talk, like, what are people coming in and talking about? What are you finding that people need support in, or what are the benefits of having someone like yourself on their team?
Well, and a lot of and one of the exciting things is I think people really are shifting their view about counseling, right? They used to see counseling as very problem-based. And absolutely, if there's a crisis or problem, it's wonderful to have somebody to explore that with you and come up with strategies on how to move through that. But counseling is taking on a much broader range. It's much more less stigma associated with it, more understanding that this is a resource. And, so one of the things is we do a lot of kind of coaching in our counseling as well. And so when we're working with, let's say, some of the entrepreneurs we're working with, sometimes it is that life work balance, right? Mm-hmm. That is a very challenging thing, and how to manage your relationships as well as how to commit to your vision for your whatever business, whatever you're, doing. And so, it is, most entrepreneurs are stretched in a lot of different ways, and a lot of different things are required from them. So that can be quite stressful. And having that place to kind of bounce ideas off of people too, and a trusting place, and also helping to find your vision, right? Like, what is your vision? Where do you want to go with it? And so for us as therapists, we're doing that about your personal life, your vision, but we're also doing it about your professional life. What's your vision?
I find that what I find really interesting, there's lots of different, and I say to people, there's many times where I've had, more than one coach for different things. Like I love specialty things. So if I'm looking for areas in financial advice, I'm going to book a time with my bookkeeper and my accountant, and we're going to have that exploratory conversation. When you're talking about things like, life, I've been an entrepreneur for 31 years. So let's face it, there's been lots of times where my personal life bleeds into my business and my business bleeds into my personal life, because for me, I am the entrepreneur. Many times I felt like I am my business, even though it is really outside of me. And it's been a progressional learning curve to, have my relationship with my business and have some boundaries around that and all that good stuff and how it bleeds in. But, I would not be transparent or being truthful if I didn't say that there's many times being an entrepreneur, having those times where it could be lonely, it can be challenging, you're the person that's your cheerleader most of the time, that it does and has brought up things from the past, like rejection, getting rejected in business can feel like really deep. And you're like, they just said no to buying my book. Why am I feeling so sad on the couch? Or I'm feeling like, I've been, triggered, right? And so, let's face it, they go and look at whether you're working in an office, you can have the same thing compared to an entrepreneur. Sometimes things are happening in your work life and it's triggering things that you got to work out.
And I think, it triggers a good word in the sense that people that are entrepreneurs, like, a lot is expected of you and it can be absolutely overwhelming, and it tests you in all sorts of ways, right? It tests you. And anybody who's gone down that path knows, like, it's not just this idealistic, oh, I've got this great vision and I'm going to make it happen, right? Like, it's a constant test. And so you're absolutely right that when we're tested and under those pressures, it can trigger us. It can bring up things that, like you said, that fear of rejection, or maybe it triggers back to that, first really significant rejection you received. Because guess what? We've all been rejected, right? We've all had that experience. And so it's actually a wonderful kind of way to be able to, if you're open to the process, to really grow as a person and grow professionally, right? Like, so that's what I really try to do, is help assist people in approaching it in a holistic way, right? Because you're right. As an entrepreneur, you kind of are your business. Like, you embody it, And so, yeah, it's, you can't just, you know, like you have to learn ways to take care of yourself, but it's unrealistic to think that, you know, you're not going to commit to something like that and put all that energy into it and not have it, you know, occupy a very large space in your life, right?
Absolutely. When we were talking pre-show about even the word resilience, you know, how you've just been resilient through an experience that you had that was about physicality, you know, about being physical. And right now I'm about to launch a book tomorrow night, you know, big da-da-da-da. We all know there's been a few sleepless nights and the resilience and what that does to push you through and how that can make you feel and success related, you know, success related and resilience. But let's get a little bit, what made you decide to go into this field? What was it about this field that drew you? And were you working for someone else and then became an entrepreneur, or what was your process?
Yes. You know, I mean, it's all that thing when we're young and we're searching for, and I was definitely wanting a field of work that had meaning attached to it. And where I felt like I was, you know, part of the solution, not part of the problem. And so, you know, after working in sort of different social service related jobs, you know, I ended up going and doing my master's in counseling psychology. And when I first worked, I worked for agency, right? I did a couple agencies, and it was a great experience. I had wonderful support and I learned all sorts of great things. But, you know, there was that part of me that wanted more. Right. I wanted more. And I started doing a bit of private practice, you know, on the side, still working full time. And that's where I started to get really excited. I loved and valued the experiences I had with the agency, absolutely honor it completely. But then I just felt like I had kind of the freedom in a private practice to be able to bring my creativity to it. And I kind of liked the fact that I was accountable. I kind of liked it. And I thought, this is, you know, this is good because, like, you know, if somebody's paying for your service, you have to deliver and you can't be complacent and all of those things. So I got quite excited by that. And then I left the agency and I ended up committing full time to the practice. And as it grew and as my reputation grew, which was nice, you know, but I worked hard for that. Then I expanded and brought in associates. And so, you know, I went from sort of my own private practice to, or being part of a practice to, you know, being the owner of the practice. And that was a huge leap, like to leave my safety and security and benefits, right? And to leap into, okay, I'm going to take this chance. Right. But that whole thing where you said you want more, like for me, I was always driven. And to me, more, I actually wrote a book called More. And it's like about, you know, movement, having things in life that are moving, opportunity. What's the opportunity in front of you? Reality. What's the reality you got to deal with? Because we all got to deal with reality, whether we like it or not. Right. E being for the exceptional outcome. So I always said, I knew I wasn't, you know, like I, part of me was a perfectionist, but I thought this is not good. I am not going to be able to achieve my goals if I remain a perfectionist, because you're always disappointed and you're never realized as a perfectionist. So I was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to be an exceptionalist. I want to be exceptional, right? And in being exceptional, you can make mistakes, because you can learn from them. Whereas a perfectionist, that just disappoints and discourages you. And I learned, you know, in this entrepreneurial journey, really learned that, okay, I've made lots of mistakes, right? But by allowing those mistakes, letting them be the yellow brick road to, you know, success, actually, I've been able to improve, expand, enjoy my work and my practice even more. And I don't worry about mistakes anymore. Like, it doesn't mean I'm lazy and I don't attend to things. It means that if something emerges, I pay attention in a non-defensive way and try to learn from it. So yeah, I built this practice and it, you know, kind of got bigger and bigger. And I've had so many interesting you know, experiences along the way that I think I've learned a lot from. I think some of my clients have learned a lot from, and the people I've talked to, hopefully I've learned some things too from my own journey, right? As we share our journey, which is exactly what you're doing in this podcast, which is just brilliant. You know, you're creating a platform for people to share their journey and us all learn from it. And I thank you for that, Deborah.
Oh, thank you so much, Allison. Mm-hmm. I love that word. Okay, that's your new hashtag word, exceptionalist. I really, because as much as it, you know, it rings excellence, there is fluidity in that word, right? Exceptionalist, because there's, you know, an exception to every rule. And I think if you are that person, I so relate to you. I remember taking my massage course. Yeah. And in the second day of the massage course, my body tingled. Never mind, I was pregnant, but my body tingled. And I'm like, I'm going to do this the rest of my life. And I literally grabbed paper and pen and start figuring out how many massages I'd need to do a day to be able to make sure that I, you know, could help participate financially in the family so that I wasn't going to go back to work. And it really, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm having this baby and I never want to go work again and I want to stay home. And I didn't have her yet, but it was like, I had that magical feeling of, and I just started to, you know, if you have that drive, I think so many people in service-based businesses did work for someone else, whether it was a hairdresser or a lash lounge, an esthetician, a masseuse, a counselor, a therapist, you know, they were part of a clinic and then they just had this thing inside that said, I want to go be the crazy boss, you know? And so congratulations on that. And I got to get your book. I mean, we don't live far away. I've got to get this book, The Book of More. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's amazing. We were just talking about that in a video that I was doing, so important on reading and expanding and taking in new information. So that's an excellent name for a book. Mm-hmm. I've got to ask you, so you've had many different experiences. Obviously you've gone from being an employee to hiring employees. Yes. I'm sure you've learned lots of things in that area, but I loved when you were sharing earlier about some of the stuff that you have learned in, you know, what is one of the biggest lessons that you've learned?
Well, I always say one of my, like, there's many, right? And, mm-hmm. You know, one of them is you can't be all things to all people, right? Like you have to stay focused on your vision. And in relation and in alignment with that, one of my biggest lessons I always say is, you know, when I was trying to figure out how to be successful, like when you're really starting to dig into the business and you're starting to read all the materials, like you're talking about stretching out kind of how have other people done this, right? And I remember I was reading some article and it said something about Mark Twain, and it said, you know, Mark Twain, you know, he had said, oh, success, it's easy, it only takes two things. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to find out the two things for success. This is going to be awesome. And so, you know, I read the next lines and it says, yeah, just two things, really simple, be bold and be ignorant. And I read that and I was like, what? Like, what is it talking about? And I kind of thought, well, be bold, you know, taking chances and putting yourself out there. And I thought, okay, I can do that. I do that fairly well. But what's this big ignorant thing? Because I thought, I'm not ignorant. Like, I'm, you know, knowledgeable and I'm paying attention and I learn from my mistakes, all those things. But what I figured out as I journeyed further and kept ruminating on that was what I believe he meant was that sometimes you have to ignore things. Mm-hmm. You have to ignore things that are getting in the way of your vision. And for me, as a mental health professional, as somebody who's very tuned into how other people are feeling and thinking and wanting to, you know, make sure everything's working for everybody and wanting to be a really good boss, right? Mm-hmm. Really, really wanting to be that boss that I had hoped I could be. At times I was getting distracted from the vision of the business and what the business needed, because the business is an entity too. It's like a personality. It needs care. You know, it's either in its infancy or its teenage years or it's more mature, but in the same way you parent and you have to care for your child, you know, you're the parent of your business. And there was times that I was so busy trying to meet different people's sometimes conflicting needs that it was just exhausting me and it was getting away from my vision, you know, and sometimes it was informing choices in the wrong direction, which was about maybe trying to please people as opposed to just holding on to myself, being super respectful, but saying to people, you know, and this is what I've learned to do is saying, you know, I understand, I can feel, understand why you feel that way, but I'm sorry, I just can't do that. You know, it doesn't meet the needs of the business, or I can't give you all that time off because we don't, you know, have somebody to cover. Like having to say no, or having to, you know, sometimes, and I don't mean ignore in a heartless way, but I mean in a way that is actually best for the business and often best for the other people in the business.
That's a tough one. I mean, there, I mean, historically speaking, it can be tough to, first of all, boundaries, you know, boundaries of self, your boundaries, interpersonal, how much do you give your children? How much do you not? When do you say no? When do you say yes? And then when you're doing that with interpersonal relationships, particularly if you have, you know, culturally been like, you know, let's be nice, let's all get together, let's all get along. And if you have that need to be liked, which, you know what, if people just get super real, most of us have it to a certain degree, and some of it more than others, which, you know, then takes us into codependence. And then we need to go talk to someone like you. But it is hard sometimes to claim your stake or to say something that you know is going to make someone else uncomfortable. And it can actually get painful for you, or like you said, detrimental to your business, or by putting other people first. I know that I do a lot of work in the direct sales industry, supporting people that are doing something side gig, very part-time. And it's difficult to rewire yourself to like put your business in as important as the other things that you have. And there can be a continued washover. So until all of a sudden you're sitting there, you're like, oh, good for them, not good for us. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. It's, I mean, it's quite the journey. And there, like I said, there's a lot. Anytime you're doing any sort of business for yourself, any entrepreneurship, there's, you know, I think that was also the surprise. I sort of thought, okay, you know, I'm going to do the best. I'm a hard worker. I'm going to do the best I can do. Right. But there are all these variables that you can never control, right? Like you can't control if there's a recession. You can't control if these things are happening. And then you have to really learn to adapt. And that thing we were talking about earlier, the resiliency, like in my business, you know, I think it's 15 years now that I've had practice. And I, of course, had been practicing and, you know, working in the agencies before. But, you know, we've sort of survived a couple of recessions. We've survived a pandemic, right? Yeah. Like, it's like, you know, all of those things on some level we took a hit from, but you know, if you keep, it's like compound interest, right? If you keep your mind on that end product, you know, those challenges you get across the board might take us down for a little bit, but then it takes us back up again. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So people come to you for all sorts of things, obviously not just business, not just entrepreneurs. What are some of the things that you've learned just from life skills that, and I know it, I'm asking a very generic question because people come in and they, you know, they uncover all sorts of things and it's different for people, but you know, what are some of the things that you've noted? Maybe it's been in these last couple of years, maybe it's always been, maybe there's been something that's just been consistently through, maybe it is boundaries, you know, maybe it is, you know, Brene Brown, you know, Man in the Mirror, who knows what it is, but is there something that, our audience can be listening to that goes, you know what, fundamentally, there's some indicators when you're needing to reach out and having someone else check in, or some indicators on when you need to do some self-care. There's things that you can kind of give our audience before we.
Well, I think a lot of times is, like I said, very much, I believe, I've been really trying to be on that forefront of movement in my industry that helps people see that it is resource-based, right? And that I kind of believe that, like you said, you know, we have many coaches, we have many, right? So I see counseling as something kind of like your personal trainer, except it's, you know, for maybe your internal personal trainer, right? But I think the way I often look at it is, you know, we kind of, if we look at ourselves and, you know, when we're really centered, if we're at the center and we imagine that as a wheel metaphor, and we're in the center and we can kind of feel peaceful and feel focused and feel, you know, like some sort of groundedness, right? When you're at the edge of your wheel and you feel like you're going, wow, like this, right? That's probably a really good time to kind of reach out to somebody to help find ways to find your mindfulness, your center, because life is always going to have that, you know, wheel, you know, of kind of chaos around us. But when you really feel like you're riding that edge, that's not a good place to be. It's exhausting and you don't get refueled there. So I think whatever the reasons that you feel like you're on your edge of that wheel, that's a great time to reach out and, you know, look for somebody who you can really start strategizing your life with. And that's where I see really good counseling sometimes is, you know, a bit of developing life strategies.
That's excellent, the way to describe it. I mean, I'm a visual person, so I got that really clear. And I know that a lot of people are listening right now, not watching. But imagine being on the outside of the circle. It's kind of like, you know, I think we've all heard that term, like, oh, man, I'm on the edge. You know, I'm on the edge. You know, the other thing I love to talk about in relationship to having someone like you in their life is, for me, it's a great barometer. Like when you know that you're going to be talking to someone once a month who you've been talking to for, you know, a number of years or through a certain time in your life, it's a great check-in. Like, and it's a great knowingness. I think, you know, for me, I always said, you know, I ran a massage studio and I worked on so many people and it was so lovely. But I always say when you pick up the phone and you book your massage treatment, the relaxation actually starts to happen. Psychologically, subconsciously, you're like, oh, and you can handle so much more knowing that you have a massage a week or 2 weeks. Yeah, because, you know, we're all nodding right now, you guys, because we all love massage. And you start to relax knowing somehow you're able to handle things so much more. And so, you know, your personal internal coach or your trainer or your what have you for your personal life and your personal, you know, your personal stories, you're able to kind of, I think you have a higher level of endurance. I think you have a higher level of resistance. And it's kind of cool to have someone that you can just be really clear. As an entrepreneur, there's so many faces we put on. Like you got to smile sometimes when you don't want to smile. I mean, just like life, but there's an expectancy, you know, particularly if you have staff or you're going to go do a presentation, like you got to leave your stuff at the door and go be. And so it's nice to be able to take all that off and be real with someone. So when you talk about being refueled, I think it really truly is an internal gassing of the engine. And then you get to go back out there and.
And I love what you said about, you know, when the appointment is booked. And I believe very much that for my field as well, when that appointment is booked, when you have that session booked, the work starts then. You're absolutely right. That's so well put. And so your experience, even like you were talking about the experience of a massage, the experience of a therapy session, it's not just the 1 hour.
Yeah. Right?
It's the prep for it, the focusing your thoughts, and then maybe some of the work you do afterwards, right? So it really, in a weird kind of way, it's that gift that keeps giving. Like if you open yourself to the possibility of anything, whether it be massage therapy or whether you're going to your personal trainer or whatever you're doing, and allowing it to benefit you consistently like that is such a brilliant way of approaching it. And I believe very strongly, and you don't have to, you know, the thing about counseling is like, and I'm sure, you know, in many fields, like you might be helpful to come weekly, but you don't have to come weekly.
Yeah.
Like you're right. You could book once a month and it's just this awesome check-in that keeps you focused, that actually helps you kind of measure your goals and where you're at with them. And maybe some of the challenges that are coming up and strategizing through them, maybe some of the gains you have and celebrating them. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it can be a wonderful way of kind of tracking where you are and what you want to achieve in your life.
Absolutely. Because what's going on the inside reflects on the outside. And I feel that people that do your kind of work are those safe places that we get to go. You know, it's not about like, oh, you know, how do I close the sale? It's like, I'm feeling this because my child's a teenager or, you know, my marital status is changing and how is that making me feel? And like all of those kind of those things that we don't tend to talk to our colleagues about. So I want to tap a little bit before we close today, because I know that, you know, there comes a time where we have to end the show. And I wanted to, so there's, I love this whole arena of pages on books. I just came from an incredible workshop with Cheryl Strayed and did an amazing writing workshop. So I'm even more in love with words on paper. What sparked you? What made you decide that you wanted to do a book?
Well, I think, you know, I'd been, my practice was was very successful, right? And so I think I had some pretty good nuggets to give people, right? And I recognized there's no way I can spread myself that thin, right? Like I'm at my max. At that point, I was sort of at my max of how many people I could see. And I was spreading out with the associateship, et cetera. But I thought, you know, I think I need to nail down what it is. What's the core messages that I'm giving my clients? You know, and it made me really focus in to determine my own philosophy. And it made me capture some of the things that seem to be working really well with people. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. And I'd been thinking about it for a while. And I remember my husband, we were sitting in our backyard and I was like, yeah, I want to write that book. And I was like, I can't remember. I was like 48 or something at the time, right? Yeah. And I was like, I want to have that, you know, done soon. By the time I'm 50, I want to have that book published. I want to have that. And he looked at me and he's like, well, you got about a year to go, girl. You better get going, you know? and I was like, oh, I gotta stop talking about it, right?
Yeah.
And at that point, what I did was I just took one day a week and I sat down at my computer and I wrote, regardless of whether it was good or not. And I just committed, you know, and I had that thing done and I published my book on my 50th birthday.
Yay! Yeah. Celebration.
Yeah. It was a great, you know, accomplishment and it felt awesome to do that. But it, you know, it took him sort of saying, okay, stop talking, get going, right? Yeah. To actually get it done. And I'm very grateful for that.
Awesome. That's an honest prompt. So look, we don't live far from each other. And even if we did, I think we need to have an excuse for getting together. I'll bring my book, you bring your book. And if there's a glass of wine or a cup of tea involved, who's to say? But thank you for sharing that, because I think that a lot of people, I mean, just even the sharing of how you made it done and how you committed to one day a week, whether it was good or not, it didn't really matter. And that's what happens. I remember wanting to do something before I was 40, you know, and I think those are really good to put into our head. I wanted to do a marathon before I was 40. Yeah. And I guess what? I had a baby at 39.
Yeah.
What? Who planned that? I thought I'd be in, you know, in Paris drinking champagne and a lavender field, passed out somewhere for my 40th birthday. I was nursing, but I wanted to do a marathon before I was 40. And you know what? I made it happen. My son didn't take anything but nursing. So, you know, my ex-husband, my husband at the time would drive down to the training center. I would nurse him. And then he had to literally be 2 hours away because my son wouldn't take a bottle or a soother. And so we just had to make it work. And you know what? I trained one day a week. Everyone trained 6 days a week. I trained one day a week for 2 to 3 to 4 hours and stretched things out. And it was just really complicated, but I did the marathon December 12th. I turned 40 December 18th and my son turned 1 December 27th. And so, you know, I'm not saying I finished first. Look, it took me like 6.5 hours, people, to do the marathon, right?
But it was
in Hawaii. So everybody was a little, you know, it wasn't raining at least. But I think if you actually just do what you can, like what you said, whether you wrote it, like whether I was in time, not in time, in sync, people were running ahead of whatever. I think as long as you carve it out, there's something very powerful about that sense of intention.
There really is. And it can fuel us. And you know what? We all need to find strategies to keep ourselves accountable to our goals. And that doesn't mean that I think we have to suffer or that we can't adapt when needed, right? Mm-hmm. But I still think we need things. We need markers. We need things in place to kind of keep us focused and keep us moving forward. And you know, and that's how we accomplish things and achieve the things that we would like to, right?
Right.
Yeah, very important.
Okay, so I'm going to throw us completely off topic because we're coming to an end. Before I ask you a final question, Allison, which I'm actually really interested to see what this answer is, and it has nothing to do with what we've talked about. Please tell people how they can either A, get your book, B, get in contact with you. That would be great to do. We're going to have it in the show notes, everybody, so you can expand more with Allison. But please just let us know here for our listeners.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to learn more about myself or my practice or the book, whatnot, they could just go to our website, and it's just my name, Allison Jones, AllisonJones.ca. So AllisonJones.ca, and it's got all the information on there about the different services that we provide. It's got information on there about my philosophy of more, and how they can get the book and whatnot. So that's a good touch point. We also have the, we're on Facebook and Instagram and all those sorts of things, so people can look us up there as well. And I try to keep those pretty current because, there's always something interesting going on.
Oh, absolutely. And personal development and mental health and self-care and all that good stuff, it's all very important. Talking about mental health, talking about self-care, talking about personal development, I would ask you this question either or, but most of the listeners know, and I know we have a large listenership happening over in the UK, probably because myself and a girlfriend will be over in August 2023. So if you're listening to this podcast after that, because these podcasts never go away because they're so good, well, next year. But August 2023, we are walking 8.5 marathons in 8 days across the beautiful land of Ireland to raise money for the music industry. And I personally use a lot of music for my mental health stability. that sounds so lovely. But anyways, if anyone is interested in knowing more about that project, we have lots of opportunities for sponsorship. We have lots of opportunities for people to get tapped into. If you are a book business and you want exposure, we have a multitude. We have a beautiful package that we can send you. And we are looking for people to help share the word on social media. And if you want to volunteer, we're looking for that as well. So it is a grand, it really is, when they say 'tis grand, it is a grand project that, Alicia Keys' global organization is hooked into. And we have a beautiful organization in Ireland, as well as Unison all throughout Canada, which supports musicians. And if you're not familiar with the musicians that you're not hearing on the radio per se, but 85% of them cannot pay their rent. And you know what? We so freely utilize music so beautifully for our healing and what have you, we think it's kind of time to give back. So if that inspires you, you know where to reach me. So Allison, I have to ask you, you're on your way to a desert island, just you and you. That's it. You and you, that's it. And you're taking a suitcase with you, and you have room in that suitcase because you've got it shoved full of books and all sorts of good stuff, but you've got room for one album. One album. What album would you take with you on a desert island?
Well, it would probably, oh my gosh, that's a tough one because I love music.
Right? I love good it. Good to know.
Yeah, I love it so much. And my husband's a musician. So, but I think it would be, I would have to go with the soundtrack from Amadeus, Mozart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
And all right. A whole lot of stuff. Led Zeppelin was right up there, let me tell you. I love Led Zeppelin. You grew up with that. But, it's just that music is so captivating and intricate. And If I had, it's the thing I could listen to again and again and again.
And again and again. Okay. So, you know what? I'm going to say you're the first person that has given that answer.
Yes.
Yes, it is. That's awesome. We're going to have to talk music. We're going to have a chit chat. But thank you so much for taking the time to share with us on such a very, very important topic. Yeah. I think the more we talk about this topic, the more allowance people have, because sometimes there is still stigma. There is still stigma, and it's mostly internal stigma.
Yep.
And you know what? Let's all get off the edge and be centered and grounded and just come from like what I call happy, happy, joy, joy, right? Let's come from there. So thank you so much for your time today. If you guys want to be on the show, if you want to be sitting where Allison's sitting, look, I'm super easy. It's deb@devdrummond.com. It doesn't get easier than that, right? Just reach out and we'll have a conversation. So thank you for being the best rock stars ever. Thank you, Allison. And we will see you guys soon enough. So be groovy till we do. Bye for now.